All right. Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. We are in the epistle lessons for the fifth Sunday in Lent. This text is Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. And remember, this is all part of Paul's argument, chapters 6 through 11, in which he has moved from his talk about justification by faith and the great thing that God has done for our salvation to talk about what this means now for our Christian life. Because remember, the question was raised earlier in the book, also at the beginning of chapter 6, should we just continue sinning so that grace may abound? See, if through our sin God's greatness and his love is glorified, why not keep on sinning? So Paul now is arguing against that, obviously, and talking about the nature of the Christian life and what it means to truly have been crucified and raised with Christ. And so he's talked about that extensively already up to this point, but we have to remember now that the words that we're going to hear in chapter 8, and specifically in these verses 6 through 11, are part of that whole argument. And so here he's now talking about the reality of the Spirit who dwells in us, and the great power that the Spirit gives us now to lead lives that are pleasing to God. So, and what a difference it makes. So we start with verse 6, with the ta gar phronema tes sarkasthanatos, for the phronema, for the mindset. That's probably as good an English translation as any. For the mindset of the flesh is death. And just remember that flesh, as it's used here, Badag mentions, refers to all parts of the body that are dominated by sin, so that wherever the flesh is present, sin is present in its fullness. In other words, as Paul is using sarks here, there is no good thing that lives in the sarks. And he's mentioned that passage. If you go back to chapter 7, verse 18, he says that specifically, no good thing dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. So the mindset of the flesh is death. And notice the predicate there, just like when we say the expression food is life, a longer way to say that, food brings life or food sustains life. So here, the mindset of the flesh is death, leads to death, brings death. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. And I think here it's important to see that it's Spirit with a capital S. This is the Holy Spirit that he's referring to. And you will see throughout this section, I think, that the argument is clearer when we see that. So that in the indwelling Spirit, the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. It follows up on Paul's point in chapter 7 that our identity has been changed. Since the Holy Spirit dwells in us and Christ dwells in us, our real identity rests in them. Though our sinful flesh still clings to us, that's not the real us anymore, so to speak. Okay? Verse 7 then, wherefore, ta phronema, the mindset of the flesh, is echthra, is enmity against God. All right? And now he gives the reason why. For to the law of God, it does not subject itself. That hypotasitai is from hypotasso. It's a third singular present middle indicative. So it does not submit itself. So to the law of God, it does not submit itself, nor is it able. Dinatai. All right, so notice then that the law of God is a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. It expresses God's will. But the flesh, under the power of sin and subject to sin, simply resists and therefore is enmity against God. Okay? Verse 8 then, notice that the hoi, follow your eye, you get to the ontes, which is simply a present participle, masculine, plural from aimi. For those who are in the flesh, are not able. Dinantai is the third person plural indicative from dinamai. For those who are in the flesh are not able. Aresai is the second aorist, or simply aorist active infinitive from aresco, and it's a supplementary infinitive. In other words, it completes the thought of dinantai. For those who are in the flesh are not able to please God. It takes the dative case. Notice also what it means to be in the flesh in Paul. To be in the flesh means to be under the control of the flesh, to be dominated by the flesh. Remember that flesh means the sinful flesh, all right? The flesh that is so controlled and dominated by sin. So to be in the flesh, you're not able to please God, all right? Now he makes this big turn to remind us of our reality, of the new identity that we have been given. Himes, but you are not, esta, in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So notice if we take Spirit with a capital S here and take it as analogous to in the flesh, in the Spirit means the Spirit now rules our life. The Spirit now controls us. And so it's the Spirit which, as Paul said, dwelling in us now delights in the law of God, and we delight in the law of God after that inner man. So it's our life connected with the Spirit, which brings us into a whole different kind of reality and relationship. So you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God, oike, dwells in you. All right, that's a simple present from oikeo, third singular present active indicative. But if someone the Spirit of Christ does not have, this one is not his. Autu meaning possession. All right, so if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, and remember the Holy Spirit is Christ's Spirit, you don't belong to him. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, the body, dead, dia hamartion, dead because of sin, but the Spirit, now this is important, but the Spirit, here's how I'm going to translate it, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. A lot of translations keep the S, a small S here, and refer to the human spirit, and translate something like the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now that's possible, but I think it fits Paul's argument better if you understand this is the Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit is life in the same way that we saw the flesh is death way back in verse 6. All right. So the Spirit is life, namely the Spirit brings life. Why? Because of righteousness. In other words, that's part of God's saving act. The righteousness that God brings to us is the forgiveness of sins that he has given us in Christ, and then also the indwelling of the Spirit by which we lead this new life, the down payment of the age to come, the first fruits already showing themselves. All right, and that's the point that he makes later in chapter 8. And so it's a very important point that he's making about the work of the Holy Spirit here. So again, verse 10, but if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit, the one who raised a gerontos, notice that that's an aorist active participle, masculine, singular, genitive, but if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, see, so notice it's the Holy Spirit, who's Jesus' Spirit who raised him from the dead, the one who raised a geros, is again from a gero, this is again an aorist active participle, but now it's masculine singular, but if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus, Christ from the dead, but if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead, zoa poi eise, will make alive also your mortal bodies, ta thneta somata, through the Spirit, namely autu his Spirit, through his Spirit, en oikuntas, which dwells en himein, in you. So again, notice this great analogy. If the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the same Spirit who raised Jesus will make alive also your mortal bodies. So notice again, he's pressing ahead to look at the promise of the resurrection of the body that we have already now by virtue of the indwelling Spirit. So the Spirit is our guarantee, as Paul says, of the eternal life, the resurrected life that is to come. So it's a great message that he talks about here. And notice how through these chapters, as we've seen all the way from chapter 6, where he started talking about baptism as our death and resurrection experience, Through baptism, God gives us the death and resurrection of Christ and thereby ends the reign of sin and death over us. We are now under a new master who brings life and actually true freedom and peace. And it's a glorious one that we serve in Jesus, and especially in His Spirit who dwells in us and who brings us life. And so notice then that the themes for preaching here center on the work of the Holy Spirit as a reality in our lives in the here and now, and that's something to be emphasized in the sermon.